listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. And then the fourth stanza, what is man that he should be loved and visited by thee, raised to an exalted height, crowned with honor in thy sight, how great thy name. And then the chorus, Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great thy name, thine the name of matchless worth, excellent in all the earth, how great thy name.
Shine.
to think of the words of that song, How Great Thy Name. It is greater than every name, and especially the name of Christ, who has been given a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow. We also read in Psalm 138, Thou hast exalted thy word above thy name. It may be hard to understand that, but when God tells us, we are to believe it as he states it, and we need to give reverence to both his name and his word. Let's seek to do that as we read of his name in Jeremiah chapter 30, and then read it as God's word. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for, lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So far we read this part of God's holy word. Our Father, we give thanks for this word. We give thanks that we may know who it came from. As we read, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, the Lord God of Jacob, of Isaac, of Abraham, the God of the living. And each one of them are living, as we can read of even those gathered in Abram's bosom. We pray, Father, for understanding of these words in their past history, that we also may read of them as a lesson for the present and as well for the future, as we see similar words written that we believe have not yet been fulfilled. We pray especially, Father, for the fulfilling of those words that we read last week, when it could be said to Israel, Then shall ye call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And the other promise also given, that they would seek thee and find thee, when they would search for thee with all their heart. And we pray, Father, that thou make us to come to thee with all of our heart, not feignly, not be left with a deceitful heart, not be left with pride in our heart, but come in true humbleness. Come, Father, as Solomon could already say those many years before that if we humble ourselves before thee and pray, thou wilt hear. And here we have the promise of hearing. And we pray, Father, thou wilt teach us to pray, that we might then be heard and heard, especially in the name of Christ. We pray for the spiritual blessings spoken of here for Israel, the spiritual blessings also that can be given to the rest of the world, even as thou hast said later by the pen of Paul, that the cutting off of Israel was for the blessing of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. And Father, we believe that that fullness is yet to come. We pray it might come soon. We pray if it could be thy will, that there might be the beginning of what is needed for that even now, by the mighty blessing and the power of the Spirit, that he might revive Israel, revive the church as well, and that both might be a blessing throughout the world, that it might be a blessing in each nation, that the church again will be made a salt and a light. We pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings of revival. We pray for awakening. We pray for salvation to be given and manifested for thy glory. We pray, Father, also for the other blessings, even as Jeremiah could say, in the time of suffering, the time of anxiety, the time of trouble, thy mercies are new every morning. And we give thanks for the mercies that we have in nature, the mercies that we have as a nation, the freedom that we still have, the blessings that are ours, the food, the raiment that we have in abundance. And we pray for those who do not have these blessings at this very time, but are in suffering. We pray for those in suffering in the many different ways, and especially those who are suffering for thy name's sake. We ask, Father, for troubled homes to be healed, homes to be established, children in those homes. We pray for the blessing needed in every place, in the workplace, in each government, Father. We pray that they might be restrained from doing wickedness. They might be led into ways of righteousness for thy glory and for the peace and prosperity and blessing of every nation. And especially, Father, that there might be peace, that the gospel might be preached without persecution, if it could be thy will, through Christ. Amen. Before we look at the words in this 30th chapter, I would like to look at the words that we ended with both of the last messages in the 29th chapter, verses 12 and 13, each one containing particular promise. One is, in verse 12, "And I will hearken unto you." And the other is, "And find me." Find God. It reminds me of the time of the Great Awakening with Jonathan Edwards. And there was a little girl named Phoebe Bartlett. I believe she was 4 years old. And she was praying. She said she couldn't find God. And then, after praying for some time and crying and going into the closet, she said she found God. But when that does happen, it's really more like Paul said to the Galatians, that you found God, but he says, rather are found of him. And that's true here also, that these people, 70 years later, would be found of God where they were, where God had sent them for their blessing, calling them the good figs, saying, "I will put them in captivity." He would there teach them, then bring them back. And we can read even the numbers of people, the names, coming back with Ezra, later Nehemiah being sent down there. Those 40 plus thousand of people coming back to Jerusalem, to Judah. All of this by God's decree. All of this under God's blessing. Yes, they suffered terrible judgment. Even called in that same chapter, "I will persecute them with a sword and with a famine, with a pestilence." And some would have that. But others would be kept. Others would submit. Others would learn. And then later call upon the name of the Lord, and he would hearken. Seek the Lord. He says, when you search for me with all your heart. That was a foretelling at that time, which we may believe has been fulfilled, but can be fulfilled again both for them and for us. And we need to certainly pray that that will take place for them and for us. As we look at this 30th chapter, we read the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, God spoke to Jeremiah that he in turn might speak to the people, and write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. This is how we have received the Bible. This is how we have the Holy Scriptures, God's Word. Men were led to write it. As Peter could say, not of their private interpretation, but holy men of old were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that was what was taking place here. We do not know if God spoke audibly or how he moved Jeremiah, but we do know that God spake this message. And we do know it was of God. And we do know that both the warnings that judgment would come were true and were fulfilled. The terribleness of it, the awfulness, as God said by Jeremiah, would make the ears of those that would hear tingle, that they would speak of the awfulness of what happened in Jerusalem. Many people, I'm sure, knew of that beautiful temple that Solomon had built, and now it was to be destroyed, burnt down. And people would probably ask why, and know that it was because those people had sinned against God. And many of them were receiving the wages of sin, which is death. But it doesn't stop there. Even as Paul could write those words, he could also say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that would be true for these people. It would be true for those that would come to believe on the one also spoken about in that 29th chapter, verse 16. Know that thus saith the Lord, the King that sitteth on the throne of David, and all the people that dwell in the city, and your brethren that are not gone forth of captivity. They would have judgment. But that same King, coming in the lineage of David, would protect others that went into captivity. We see somewhat the same reference in the next chapter, chapter 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. David was long dead. As Peter would say later, his sepulcher is among us unto this day. But he raised up one to sit on his throne, the Lord Jesus, sometimes called by Jeremiah the branch, other names given, but, as we said last week, portrayed in all the sacrifices, and God would give them that knowledge of himself, the Holy God, and of Christ, sometimes called the Lord of Hosts, by Isaiah, God and his Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts. When we read the Lord of Hosts, we can well be speaking of about the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God would have to deal with them through him, as he has to deal with you and me through him, if it is to be in love, in forgiveness, in working all things together for our good, called according to God's purpose. And only then will we be in that number that love God. As we see here, this message has to come from God. Though the prophets spoke things foolishly, they said the captivity is short, and they were wrong. They were soon proved wrong. The captivity continued and got worse. More people went captive. More people died. And some of those prophets died. We can read of that in the last part of chapter 29. It says, two men particularly, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. They were there prophesying lies. They were there in Jerusalem prophesying lies. One of those had died a little earlier. And these were prophesying in Babylon lies, not of the Lord. And as Moses said long before that, we can only tell if the words of the prophet come true. The words of Jeremiah were true. We know that today. And so when we listen to these words here, verse 3 of chapter 30, for lo, the days come, They were not yet there. Saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. I've never looked how often it was in Scripture, but that phrase is there many, many, many times. The promise given to the fathers, particularly Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is many times repeated in Genesis while they were living. It was repeated again later when Moses took Israel out of Egypt. It was repeated later when Moses gave his farewell, sometimes even three times in one chapter. Those words, the promise that God gave that land to their fathers. Sometimes in their wickedness, God would punish them and destroy them. But then he would remember his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that is often repeated, but I'm afraid not often enough remembered as we should. And especially we who are Gentiles, we need to know what God promised. Listen again. To the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Yes, the land would lay idle for 70 years, but it would continue to be that which God had promised, particularly to Abraham, and repeated it as well to Isaac and to Jacob. We don't have to say why. We don't know. God had his own purpose for his glory and for their good. But we can say, what must I learn by it? We can probably also say, what must I do in regard to it? One thing we are told in Scripture, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When Daniel later read these words of Jeremiah, and they're given a number of times, particularly here, just says, I will give them the land to possess it, sometimes 70 years. That was in the previous chapter, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Before they were all gone, before the temple was burned, before the walls were broken down, all in the process of happening, God said it would, and it continued to be that way. But in the midst of that judgment, of which the false prophet said, it's not going to continue, it's not going to happen, God said, it's going to happen. And he said, later, I will bring them back, after 70 years. Or as in this 30th chapter, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Those 40-some thousand came back then with Ezra. We don't know how many more came slowly on. We know that in recent years, not only thousands have come, but millions have come back to that land. It's still there. It's still there, small, but noticed. Small, but given by God. Small, but having a promise that they shall possess it, and many promises connected with it of blessing. We won't go into all of them now, but there will be more in the next two chapters, some of them referring to what will happen in 70 years from now, or really a little bit more than 70 years, because the captivity was not yet full and Jerusalem was not yet destroyed. But God would give that blessing, and also he would give other promises, which we may believe were for the more distant future. As I referred to, I believe, in the last message, the one Christ speaking himself in the first person by Zechariah. That was 70 years after this, when Zechariah was there, a prophet, to encourage the building of the temple, to encourage the people to serve the Lord. They weren't serving him the way they should. God was not sending blessings in nature. He told them to serve the Lord, and they would have blessing, and they did. But then also Christ spoke by the pen of Zechariah, I will pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication. And we may believe that was for a more distant time. Paul wrote later, Romans 11, we referred to that also last week, and it needs to be referred to again, because much of the church does not seem to believe that, does not want to bow before the Word of God. And I'm not saying that I understand it all rightly, but I wish that more people would take heed to that Word and ask God, what does it mean? What must I do? And again, not why, but what must I believe? What must I pray for? How must I honor God in it? How must I know that His name is above every name and God will show His name through that people, even through that land as well? He did show His name in giving them blessing. He did show His name in giving them judgment. God made Himself known in particular ways through that people and that land. Thereafter we read, I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. They shall possess it. Shall. No question. They did, too. Then we enter in a new thought. These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. That was there for the moment. Sometimes I think of Psalm 30. Weeping is for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There was a long night of weeping. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, and he did weep. But there came a day of rejoicing when the people were brought back, some of them not rejoicing as others, remembering the great temple of Solomon, but rejoicing because the new temple was to be built, God fulfilling His promise, as He fulfilled His promise in you.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.